Welcome to Work and the Future, a podcast about tomorrow with your host, Linda Nazareth.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining us today. Well, talent acquisition is a hot topic. Organizations are using different tactics to get the workers they want. Maybe it's more money, more flexibility, health benefits, or maybe it's pet benefits, pet perks. If you have a pet, and I say this as a dog owner, some say dog guardian, they become part of your family. So including them in a benefit package may not be that far out there. And I was kind of surprised by this. A lot of companies are allowing workers to bring their dogs and sometimes cats and other animals to work as well. And I know that was a benefit, you know, back in the day with tech companies, but it seems to really be taking hold other places too, because pets are important to people, and particularly younger workers want them to be part of the package. Well, my guest today is a very enthusiastic backer of pet perks. Her name is Karis Goodall, and she's the chief operating officer at Vetster. That's a company that lets you book online vet appointments. I had a really fun conversation with Karis. I learned a lot about how pets are becoming part of what organizations have to think about when they bring people in. And maybe, you know, they will be the wave of the future for the next generation when they make their demands as to what they want if they're going to stay with a company. There's also more important parts of this too, that pets are great for stress and for burnout. So there are benefits maybe all around. Really interesting discussion. Please stay with us to hear it. Well, will pet perks be the next way to recruit workers? To talk about that, I'm joined by Karis Goodall. She's Chief Operating Officer at Vetster. Karis, thanks so much for doing this.
Hi, Linda. It's so great to be here.
You know, this is a little bit of an offbeat topic for this podcast, I have to say. We talk about things like artificial intelligence and, you know, demand for workers. Pets, not a lot, but I did think it was interesting, the kind of research you've done on this and, you know, what it says about productivity. But before we even get to that, though, tell me a little bit about your own career and, you know, how you got in this position.
You know, I go into the category of a very unlikely COO. I started my career in public relations, working exclusively with tech startups. I worked in aerospace and defense, telecom, parlayed myself over to Kobo, Toronto's e-reading company, and then to Mike Cervinus's company League, which was my first healthcare marketplace. And so from there, when Vetster came along, being able to apply pet health, pet benefits to a marketplace model, to growing a global brand here in Toronto was really exciting for me. But certainly as I've moved through my career, then adapting, learning the business, as I call it, an on-the-job MBA, I've now been able to step into that COO role and really think across customer experience, marketing, sales, and all of operations here at Vetster as well.
Well, let's talk about Vetster. What exactly do you do for people with pets?
Yeah, so we're a 24/7 marketplace that connects pet owners with veterinary care when and where they need it. So we're available all across the US and Canada, as well as the UK, and we're able to help pet parents in over 50 countries. So no matter where you are, when, what time of day it is, we all know our animals, 2 a.m. is when something's going to happen.
Or holiday weekends.
Holiday weekends, you're at the cottage, you're traveling, you're on the road, you're taking that trip with your family. That's always the time where something's going to come up. And sometimes getting to your clinic is just not possible, or you're not sure if it needs to go to clinic or a hospital. And that's where we come in. We're a supplementary service to the veterinarian that you're seeing in the clinic for all of those questions in between.
Interesting. Okay, so pets, I have a dog, I believe you have a cat. We know they bring something to our lives, and you would argue they bring something to work lives too.
Yeah, it's really incredible. You know, during the pandemic, for the first time ever, so many people who maybe had hesitated around having a pet, they finally had the time, but also some additional financing to be able to afford a pet. So they could take their dogs out for walks regularly. They weren't necessarily in the office. But as we've gone back to the office, with more than 60% of businesses now in office in some capacity in a hybrid model, perhaps, we now have to think, okay, but wait a minute, some of that flexibility has started to disappear. And so our pets are being impacted by that. And so now we're really encouraging people in the HR space, corporate leaders, to say, wait a minute, this is now a real thing that we have to address for pet owners. Millennials are 3 times more likely to have a pet now than they are to have a child. And so when we look at that, you know, there's a real need. We kind of chuckle at that, but these are real, they're living beings, they need help. And this is where we can start to work with corporations to really be innovative in the space.
Well, do you have an idea of how many organizations are open to this? Like what percentage are even considering letting you bring the dog or the cat to work?
Yes, you would be shocked. Over 40% of businesses are now exploring having pets in the physical office space, but the number is much higher. It's actually 70%. Of corporations are now thinking about pet-friendly policies. And that can range from pet perks, you know, different rewards around pet-centric solutions, or something more formal in the pet health space like Vetster, where we're making it possible for you to see a veterinarian online. We're alleviating that time that you might have to take out of your day at work to go to a clinic. We're also helping to alleviate some of that financial burden. And so when you think about a modern benefit solution, if you don't have children, maybe braces for a 12-year-old is no longer the health benefit that you need. What you actually need is a little bit more support with your animal. And you need flex work. You need time to be able to take your dog to go for a walk in the middle of the day. You need a pet-friendly policy that lets your dog bark during a call and that it's acceptable. So it's not just about helping with the finances. It's also about the lifestyle of having a pet.
You know, I'm trying to picture this. At one point, I worked at a financial services organization, a large one. The manager we had there would never have allowed one pet there, let alone 6 or 7 dogs walking around. Is it tech companies that are open to this or any particular industry?
You would be shocked. We initially thought it would be tech companies. You've got amazing companies here in Canada. FreshBooks is one that has been long known for being very, very pet friendly. But that actually has now shifted. And it really is because 70% of people have at least one pet in their household. This is now just something that's part of our life. Our pets are now family. And so corporations are recognizing that. It's not just tech companies. RBC is one of the first banks to ever sign up to this. They're using Vetster. They're very pet forward and pet centric. And they're thinking about those programs to not just have them in the office, but then also at home. And what does that mean? And so we've had incredible brands here in Canada, Amazon, Hyundai, RBC, Indigo. It really does cross the gamut. And it's not just about your corporate office. It's about any of your locations across Canada and North America.
Well, I mean, there is an argument to be made that pets make you happier and less stressed and, you know, maybe more productive, correct?
Absolutely. You know, if you have a pet-friendly office, our data says that 80% of people feel less stressed, more productive by having animals in the office and having a pet-friendly workplace policy. But in addition to that, it goes so much farther. I don't have a dog myself, but we have sometimes 12 dogs here in the office. While some people might say, oh, that's chaos, what I can also tell you is that they become part of the fabric of our culture. It helps you to meet new people that maybe you don't always interact with in your day-to-day working environment. Animals can be a real bridge to your culture and helping to develop different and new relationships as well.
Interesting. And, you know, we talk a lot about burnout these days, about being so stressed that you can't function anymore. The argument would be that the animals help with that.
Absolutely. That's been a long proven stat. It's why you see support animals in hospitals, retirement facilities. And now to bring that same benefit into the workplace is really powerful. Even the ability to have a pet-friendly workplace, where now it is acceptable to take breaks during the day, in the morning, during the day to go walk your animal, to spend time with them, even from a tangential cultural piece of that, that is also really powerful for your employees to be able to say, I'm going out, I'm going to take a walk, I'm getting that fresh air. We don't always feel in our day-to-day of meetings that we're empowered to do that. Introducing a pet-friendly policy is one of the ways that you can help to even alleviate that stress and burnout and create some balance and structure in your employees' days.
Right, let's get back to the benefit part of this. You mentioned your own company, Vetster, including that as part of a benefit package. Is there any other things that pet owners would like to see?
Absolutely. So this goes from everything from getting the care that you need, but also having pet-friendly meetups, Slack channels, a pet-friendly policy in the office. You know, it's amazing how we're seeing clients that we're working with really take this and run with it. They are making pets the center of what they're doing. And so it really does range from how can we have programs and perks around daycare, grooming, different services, different retailers, all the way through to how can we get you instant care? So one of the things that Vetster does is not only can you speak to a veterinarian when you need it, but we actually have pet health coaches all day long for just all of those questions in between around general husbandry and care of your animals. And what we see is this is a five-star experience. Companies who are introducing pet care across the board, not just with Vetster, are hearing so much more engagement. We know that people are actively seeking this, and that it is a real attractor for companies who are doing this. So it becomes not only a retention strategy, it becomes a total reward strategy and a total compensation strategy, but it's also helping to attract and retain talent.
Well, that was, you know, why I thought this was an interesting topic, because this is really something companies have to think about. How do you attract talent and how do you keep them? It's very expensive to have people leave. You need the right people in place. However, I wonder about the flip side of this. Not everybody wants to work with dogs or cats or, you know, gerbils or whatever else somebody wants to bring in. Where does it leave them?
Yes. For the most part, we see in office that it is dogs that are coming to the office. Though at Vetster, we do try and convince our CEO that we should have a mini donkey and a gerbil at times. We haven't crossed that bridge just yet. Mostly it's dogs. And so certainly communicating a dog-friendly policy in your office is something that has to be proactive. We set a lot of rules here at Vetster, and we help our clients to establish appropriate rules. So that can be dog-friendly zones where you also have no pets allowed zones. We create spaces and different rules around having a dog in the office. So for example, dogs have to be with their owners at all times. This isn't a free-for-all. This isn't dogs roaming around. And so for people who may be a little more sensitive, maybe they have allergies, or maybe they're just not as comfortable with certain animals, we want to make sure that we're creating a really safe space for everybody. This is something that can be incredibly positive. Even here at Vetster, we have people who are more or differently comfortable with different types of animals. And so we make sure that our policies really accommodate everybody. And so it really is important as a culture that you're thinking this all the way through, that you're thinking about your physical space as much as the environment of your teams that are coming in, and making sure that you're very attuned into the changing needs of your business. I can categorically say I've worked at four different pet-friendly offices. And if you do it well and you're really thoughtful about it, it actually does help and accommodate everybody.
Well, I was going to ask about the physical spaces, because now organizations are thinking about how do we remake this with remote work and the like. You have to really change things up if you're going to have animals in all day. Well, tell us about your office.
Yeah.
Physically, what is it like?
Yeah, it's not as hard as you think. Certainly, you want to make sure that you've got lots of fresh water, you've got safe space, you've got lots of room for interaction. You definitely don't want any crowding with your animals, but it goes far beyond that. You actually onboard your pets into your workspace the same way you do your employees. So we have an application process here at Vetster that asks about vaccination requirements, temperaments, what kinds of dogs do they get along? We co-locate those dogs. We make sure that we're introducing them the same way that we introduce new employees. We make sure that there are safe zones and spaces where if a pet owner does need to leave or attend a meeting and their pet can't come with them, that the pet is able to be in a room that is safe for them. We do so much as making sure that there are treats, that you know if you're allowed to feed somebody else's dog. And it really does become a positive part of the culture. It lets you interact in a more friendly way, sometimes that it's not always about work. But at Vetster, we help all of our clients to create that safe space as well.
Really fascinating, Karis. Let's see what happens with this. You know, maybe the way you bring in the next, maybe Generation Z will want to bring their pets to work in a big way too.
Yeah, we hope so. There's nothing but upside for a pet-friendly workplace.
Well, thanks so much, Karis. Karis Goodall is Chief Operating Officer at Vetster.
Well, that's it for today. If you did enjoy this conversation, please take a look at our show notes. You'll find some links there to find out more about Vetster and about Karis. If you'd like to connect with me, I'm on X at Relentless Eco. Now, if you did like this conversation about the future of work, please take a moment, leave a rating or a review wherever you get your podcasts. That will help people to find us. It will help us to keep this going. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks as always to Stokely Audio for audio production.
To learn more about Work and the Future and to see show notes, go to the workandthefuturepodcast.com. You can also contact us at comments@theworkandthefuturepodcast.com. The Work and the Future podcast with Linda Nazareth is a Relentless Economics production.